Jesus, Lord, here we are, ready to serve you. Fill us this hour. Use us, Jesus, come near us, we pray, and do something special today. Use us, Jesus, Lord, here we are, ready to serve you. Fill us this hour. Use us, Jesus, come near us, we pray, and do something special today. We haven't come here to lift up ourselves.
Servants for thee, so use us any way you please. Use us, Jesus, Lord, here we are, ready to serve. Fill us this hour. Use us, Jesus, come near us, we pray, and do something special today. While we're here in your presence, do something special today. Use us today.
Face temptation sore. Tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go?
Tell me,
where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end.
Tell me,
where could I go but to the Lord?
We get along in sweet and cold. Oh, but when my soul needs God's manna from above, oh, could I
Church, give yourselves a nice round of applause. Hope to see y'all back tonight at 6 o'clock, baby. Y'all come back soon. Ron, do we got enough for the children's church thing? Okay. All right. So color and book them up. Give them their color and books. That's awesome. Amen. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, at church we celebrate your hatching when you're born, right? Make a big deal out of it, and we celebrate your matching. When you find your spouse, and, you know, we have the big wedding ceremony, and we celebrate your dispatching when you get promoted on out of here and you move on to better things in the presence of the Lord. But sometimes between the matching and the dispatching, we have folks that sometimes move off or get ready to move off, and we're getting ready to lose a dear, sweet couple that have been so faithful to this church for so many years, Brother Roger and Miss Lois. And they have sold their home, and they are moving to, they're going to East Texas preaching country, man. Amen. They're heading to Comus Neal, and that is the home of Brother Malcolm Ellis. Of course, they won't see Brother Malcolm much because he's on the road about 48 weeks a year. But there's some good churches up there. There's some good churches here. And you be praying for them as they have this time of transition. And you probably got about another month with them. So you be loving on them. And these Sunday afternoons are a good time to take them to lunch and love on them and talk about the good old days and the times we've had and all that stuff. Amen? Amen. That's right. So you make yourself known to them and be with them. Amen? All right, for the rest of you, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to try to finish up what I started last week. 1 Kings chapter 17, and let's stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Let's get to our feet and get that blood pumping. The mind can only absorb what the seat can endure, so let's get some blood circulating in these bodies, get our calisthenics, our aerobics in, and give honor to Jesus for this word. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to begin reading again in verse 17 as we did last week. I'm going to try to apply, bring the application. We covered a lot of background and gave a lot of context. And now we're going to springboard off of that, so to speak, and try to get some real-life application out of this. And hopefully, as I've prayed, as I've tried to put this together with God's leading, hopefully your prayer lives, your personal prayer lives, will take an incredible step forward. Amen? God wants to hear from you. God needs to hear from you. I mean, God wants to bless you. Amen? You need to pray. You need to intercede on behalf of others. Pray for your own needs. But friend, I want to tell you, we can be hindered in our prayers, and we can be helped in our prayers, right? 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 17. If you have God's Word open, would you say amen? The Word of God reads this. Now, it came about after three things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God?" Remember, she's angry. "You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death." Remember, she's a follower of Baal. Baal worship. They're in Zarephath, which is a suburb of Sidon. This is pagan territory. No Jews to be found. No Yahweh followers around. He said to her, verse 19, "Give me your son." Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, have you also brought calamity to the widow in whom I am staying by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, I pray you let this child's life return to him." The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the reading of this word. And Lord, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds to what you would have us receive today from your word. And God, may we take the word out of here. And Lord, if there's one here among us, as it's already been prayed, if there's one here among us that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may this be the hour, the day, the moment that the penny drops, that the heart is open to salvation. And Lord, we pray another one would enter the kingdom of God. Lord, it'd all be worth it. Everything we've done today, it'd all be worth it to see one come forward today to receive Jesus. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, we talked about last week, we gave you a couple of points. We said anyone's discipleship is a miracle. We said it's really miraculous that anyone gets discipled. Amen? Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of leading of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be sensitive. You can't have the Holy Spirit grieved or quenched in your life. You've got to be in the Word of God, and you've got to be about prayer. Anyone's discipleship really is miraculous. We said, secondly, last week, we said anyone can experience great heights with God. Great heights with God are not just reserved for the elite spiritually. Anyone can experience great heights with God after they get empty of themselves. We've got to get empty of us before we can really get up on the mountain with Jesus or with God or how He uses us. And then we begin to talk about some application to all this. And the statement I made was the application in the story thus far. The application in the story thus far. And I said, first, there is a profound difference, talking about Elijah's praying. First, there is a profound difference between saying prayers and crying out to God. And we talked about how Elijah cried out to God. Amen? Powerless, fruitless prayer would be utterly inadequate for Elijah. See, the only thing preventing the tragic, permanent death of this beloved child of this widow's home was Elijah's prayer life. There were no medics to summon. There were no pastors, deacons, or intercessors to call upon. Elijah was it. And Elijah's intercession was the last defense standing between his friend and the most devastating crisis of her life. We said last week Elijah's praying was elevated to a level. It was elevated to a level his prayer life had never attained to before. And friend, that is the news for you today. Your prayer life can grow. And I want to tell you, the world we're living in, it needs to grow. And the things we're dealing with, it needs to grow. Did you just hear about what's coming out of New York, Governor Cuomo? Are you kidding me? A woman can have an abortion all the way to the end term of her pregnancy? Are you serious that's going to happen in these United States of America? Yeah, it's going to happen in New York. Boy, I'm telling you, our prayer lives need to go to another level, don't they? Amen? No longer was Elijah just thanking God for sparing his life from Ahab. No longer was Elijah thanking God for sending the ravens to feed him twice a day in the wilderness. No longer was Elijah asking for a small loaf of bread. In this passage, Elijah was pleading for a dead child to live. He was praying for something dead to live again. Elijah was praying for a resurrection. He was praying for new life. And I want, when you think about the death that is around us, the lost souls that walk around us, it ought to motivate us to get right with God and to get right with the Holy Spirit so that our prayers are not hindered, but they are helped. Amen? We said last week that prayer can be respectable. It can be religious. Prayer can even be poetic. But friend, when we get to the point of crying out, cry, cry, cry. Crying to God reflects desperation. We cry when there's nothing left to do. We cry when we know that unless a response is immediately forthcoming, tragedy will ensue. When we reach the bottom of ourselves, that's when we cry out for God. So as we talk about the application of the story thus far, first, there's a profound difference between saying prayers and crying out to God, but as we begin afresh this morning. Second, we should pray for something till God answers us or we have a peace to stop. Are you hearing me? We should pray. Whatever we're praying for, we should continually pray for it. Bring it to the Lord in prayer until it is answered or until we have a peace to stop. Make sense? Elijah prayed over the boy how many times? He prayed 3 times. Why, Pastor? Because that is how many times it took. 3 times, right? Elijah would have prayed over the boy 49 times, 36 times, 22 times, 15 times. But he prayed 3 times because that's what it took. 3 times. What you need to know and appreciate and model in your own life is that Elijah was not prepared to cease interceding. He was not prepared to cease interceding until life returned. Think about this passage. What a tragedy and a weird twist to the story. If after stretching out over the boy two times, the prophet had then given up and didn't pray the third time. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Yeah. Could God have healed the boy after Elijah stretched out over him in prayer once? Certainly. But in God's sovereign will, he chose to withhold his intervention until Elijah prayed the third time. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm going to say it one more time today. We do not understand God's ways, do we, church? Had we been God, we might have eagerly responded to Elijah's prayer the moment he began, just as God did with Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, the Word of God reads, at the beginning of your supplications, the very first time you prayed, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, so give heed to the message. And again, understanding of the vision, Daniel 9, 23. But with Elijah, God chose to wait until the third time. I'm just wondering, what if God were to treat us, or perhaps God has treated us in a similar manner? Would God find us faithfully praying until the answer comes? Or would we throw in the towel after the second time, or the third time? Or the fifth time, or the tenth time, or the 23rd time? Are we faithful in our prayer life to continually keep praying for what we believe God's will is in a certain situation? Amen? Something to think about, right? The application in the story thus far, first, there's a profound difference between saying prayers and crying out to God. That was last week. This morning, second, we should pray for something till God answers us or we have a peace to stop. And then thirdly this morning, God is not obligated to answer us simply because, listen to me, God is not obligated to answer us simply because we have uttered, pay attention, God is not obligated to answer us simply because we have uttered words of prayer. Hear me today. See, God knows everything we do. He knows everything. So He is fully aware of when and what we pray, but based off the Word of God, not based off what Pastor Lee thinks, but based off the Word of God, we must meet certain requirements before He will respond to our prayers. If there's any sin in our hearts, unconfessed sin in our hearts, then He will not answer. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. That's Proverbs 15:8. Isaiah 1:15 says, so when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. And then the one you know, we all know this one, Psalm 66, 18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I'm trying to give you some application today. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to think about this point. How to have our prayers helped and not hindered. How to have our prayers helped and not hindered. We look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24, and we can say that that brother's prayer, Elijah's prayer, was helped. It wasn't hindered. Amen? So let's think about for us. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 3. That's in the New Testament, right? Amen? Almost to Revelation, correct? That's about right. Amen? Chapter 3. We're going to look at these verses here, verses 7 through 12. In Peter's first letter, Peter mentions prayer three times. And what is remarkable about these three instances of prayer support, what's remarkable about all three of them is that there is a common theme. There is a common thread that they are all three trying to tell us. It's the same theme. It's the same thread as you look at these different instances on prayer support. As we go through these verses on prayer, see if you can figure out the common thread, the common theme running through each of them. The first one is this. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You find it? It says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Friend, I want to tell you, for men, talking to men right now, for men, respect and honor your wife. Now, I guarantee you, my wife's taking a note on this, and she'll probably get a copy of the message. Amen? Respect and honor your wife. I'm going to get you one, James. I'm going to get you a copy, too. I'm going to get Kathy two copies. Amen? Yeah. And you want one back there, too. All right, ladies. We'll just mass produce them and hand them out on the way. For men, respect and honor your wife. Men, if you want. Men, husbands, if you want your prayer life to be helped. And I want to tell you, if you've got a family today, if you've got bills today, if you've got kids in college today, if you're trying to get it all done today, you need your prayer life helped today, man. So men, if you want your prayer life helped, if you want it helped and not hindered, then make sure you're attempting to shoulder the responsibility of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You're not going to be perfect with it, but shoulder the responsibility of it. Realize the truth of it and get up underneath that thing. Amen? Guys, the key to helping your prayer life is understanding her weaker status in the home. Her weaker status in the home. Her weaker status in the relationship. You're the guy, man. You're the old boy running the ball, right? You do have the final say, but you honor her. You honor her. You honor her emotions. You honor her hurts. You honor her pains. You honor her doubts. You honor her. You help her. Why? Because she is an equal heir of grace of God with you. Amen? For men, respect and honor your wife. I must move on. We'll run out of time on this. Secondly, for all of us, men, you can go, whoosh, man, it's not all about me. It's about all of us, amen? For all of us, we must be lovers of people. Oh, say it with me. We must be lovers of people. One more time. We must be lovers of people. We got to love them, friend. And I want to tell you, there's some unlovable folks out there. But Governor Cuomo, you got to love that brother. You got to pray for him, man. I'm telling you, the Catholic Church is going to excommunicate him. I don't really know what all that means, but you better love and pray for him. God could save him through all this and save a whole bunch of babies in the process. If you pray for him, be a lover. Got to be lovers of people. Notice these words in these verses, verses 7 and 8. Your translations may be a little bit different. Verse 8 says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious." Harmonious. What does harmonious mean? Well, it means people who unite and bring people together. Harmonious, right? Like these guys singing. They're together, right? They're together in their harmony, right? People who unite and bring people together. When you do that, when you seek to bring people together, your prayer life is helped. Your prayer life is helped. And those with wagging tongues, those with gossiping tongues, seeking to divide God's people, seeking to divide people in the home, seeking to divide people at the workplace, their prayer life is hindered. Sympathetic. Notice the next word here in verse 8, harmonious, sympathetic. Sympathetic meaning people who know how to express sorrow with others. You can empathize, man. You can offer a shoulder to them. You can cry with them and pray with them, who know how to express sorrow with others that are hurting. Their prayer lives are helped. And likewise, on the flip side of that, the cold and the callous, their prayer lives are hindered. Make sense? Well, I'm going to get to the jux of it here in a minute. Then we get on down here as we continue on through this passage. Sympathetic. brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. See that? Brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. We take all three of those terms together. People, what does that mean? That's people that put Jesus first. People that put others second. People that put themselves third. They are helped in their prayer life. And those with an independent, with a prideful streak, with a Lone Ranger mentality that it's all about them, their prayers are hindered. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Verse 9, what in the world is that talking about? That's talking about peacemakers. Peacemakers. Notice what it says. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Peacemakers that allow people to save face. You know what that means? When somebody sins against you, when somebody sins, when somebody really puts their foot in their mouth, you don't go, aha, you dirty dog. You give them the grace we were singing about earlier. Grace. You give them an opportunity to save face. Make sense? Because let me tell you something, friend. People are going to make mistakes. You are going to make mistakes. You have made mistakes. I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Amen. People need space. They need opportunity. They need grace to recover when they make offenses, when they make boneheaded, sinful decisions. If you're that kind of person that gives grace, is a peacemaker, your prayer life's going to be helped. But the vengeful, the folks that are always making sure that people are kicked down and held down, can't hold their tongue, the vengeful, they can't hold their tongue for nothing, their prayer lives will be hindered. Notice that Peter quotes Psalm 34 to affirm what he has just said about how to have your prayer life helped and not hindered. Now, my Bible is a different font, and it's, you know, different spacing, verses 10 through 12. That's basically Psalm 34. It says, for the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears, notice what it says in verse 12, which is quoting Psalm 34, and his ears, whose ears? God's ears, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So, how to have our prayers helped and not hindered? For men, husbands, respect and honor your wife. For all of us, we must be lovers of people. And for all of us again, for all of us again, another point for all of us again, for all of us, we must think godly. We must think godly and be spiritually alert. Back to the Holy Spirit. Back to the Holy Spirit, friend. It's the Holy Spirit in you, right? Take your Bibles and look at 1 Peter chapter 4 at verse 7. This is our last, I said three teachings, three mentions of prayer in Peter's first writing, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. You got it? It says, the end of all things is near. You believe that? Jesus is coming back. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of, my Bible says prayer, for the purpose of prayer. People who devour the Word of God, people who are sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit, those kinds of people, they are helped in their prayer life, while those that are self-centered, those that are controlled by the world, those folks are hindered in their prayer life. So back to where we began. Did you figure out the common thread? Did you figure out the theme? What's the common theme? The common theme, the common thread, living right helps us pray. Living right. Say it together. Living right helps us pray. That is the common thread. Apparently, living right, it helped Elijah in his prayer life. Would you agree? Living right helped Elijah in his prayer life. And I'm telling you, living right will help you as well in your prayer life. So what is the point, Pastor? Well, there are ways that we can live that hinder our prayer life, and there are ways that we can live that help our prayer life. And based on our passage in 1 Kings, it looks like to me, studying it, not having to have a doctor in theology, but just reading the Word of God, it looks like to me that that brother was doing some things right. Elijah was. So the application is this. We must never assume that just because we're praying, God is going to listen to us, to answer us. If our unconfessed sin account, if our pitiful poor relationships that we're not keeping up with and trying to keep the things mended and trying to, man, bring people together, if our unconfessed sin account is long, then we must not assume that we can burst into God's holy presence and command His attention for our desperate need. First, what do we need to do? First, church, what do we need to do? We need to get that confession and repentance stirred in our hearts. We need to get that thing taken care of, which means that we will decide to change in our behavior. We got to get past being sad about it. We got to get on to the repentance of it, changing our behavior. Before we can start putting the request to our God, remember today, He's God. He is God. He answers prayers on His terms, and He sets the terms because He's God. He doesn't answer prayers on my terms. So last week we said anyone's discipleship really is miraculous. Is this clock right up here, 11:38? Y'all got that? I don't have a watch today. The battery went out, and you don't have to put a new watch at my door. I'm going to get the battery changed tomorrow. Amen. Pastor Lee is at the pulpit without a watch. We'll be here until 3:30. I'm going to get you out. I got a clock here. Got a clock here. Just making sure it's right. Amen. All right. Okay. Anyone's discipleship really is miraculous. We agree? Anyone can experience great heights with God after they get empty of themselves. We agree? Amen. Finally, new today, last point of the two-part message. Anyone can graduate the Lord's school of faith. Anyone, if they're willing. Oh, if they're in tune with the Holy Spirit. Anyone can graduate the Lord's school of faith. 1 Kings chapter 17, 23 and 24. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Well, friend, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take a great theologian to understand that Elijah was not the same man he was at the outset of this story when we found him by the brook. He's a different guy. He had endured and learned much since God began working in his life. And let me tell you something about letting God work in your life. Let me tell you something about partnering with God in growing in your faith. Friend, when God gets a hold of you, when you give yourself over, when the Holy Spirit is free to flow and work through your life, I want to tell you, people will be blessed around you. They will be blessed. You will be a walking blessing factory. I'm telling you, it'll just pour out of you, friend. Even in the martyr's death, even when you take those Christians around the world today that are dying for their faith in Jesus, even when the martyr, as he grows in his testimony of faith and who Jesus is, even to the point of looking at his accusers and his persecutors and saying, "I will not deny my Savior. I'm a Christian. I'm ready to meet my Maker. Well, if you don't recant, we're going to burn you. If you don't recant, we're going to take your head off. If you don't recant, we're going to chunk you down." Well, then chunk me, burn me, whatever. Friend, when we get to that point, and we do go, And we do go into the presence of Jesus because our physical life is over. Let me tell you something. What a blessing. Amen. To leave this old world and to be in His presence. But what a blessing of strength it gives to those that remain. This salvation is for real. This is the real thing. In our story, the widow's faith had finally grown. You're talking about a blessing. In our story, the widow's faith had finally grown to the point that she placed her faith in Elijah's God. Not in Elijah, but in Elijah's God. Why? Because Elijah's faith had grown to the point of raising the dead. Now, upwards of three and a half years, Elijah had successfully completed the course. And he was ready for the greatest assignment of his life. The next time that we will see this Elijah, he will face 850 false prophets in the battle royale. It will be the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls for a showdown, friend. Let's get ready to get on. On one side stood 850 idol-worshipping prophets, the evil King Ahab and his henchmen. On the other side stood one lone prophet of God. The situation might have appeared utterly hopeless had Elijah not just graduated from God's school of faith and prayer. You'll remember in the story in 1 Kings 18 that all day the priests of Baal pleaded with their God to answer with fire, but their God, the heaven, remained silent. And then finally Elijah's turn came. He knew he would meet a gruesome end if his next prayer went unanswered, yet he was so confident that he instructed the people to douse the altar with water three times. And then that brother prayed. His was not a desperate prayer at this point, even though his life hung in the balance. He did not pray verbosely. What do you mean by verbosely? That's what I'm doing up here. A lot of words. He didn't pray verbosely. It was short, sweet, to the point. He didn't pray eloquently. He didn't pray loudly. He simply spoke to the God he had served throughout the last three and a half years, and fire fell from heaven. How could Elijah be so certain fire would fall? Elijah had just experienced three and a half years of God's daily, clock-like provision. God had not failed him once, even when Elijah needed a miracle to raise a dead boy. Elijah knew God would not fail him this time either. Well, many Christians, and I've met them, have wished for a mighty ministry as powerful as Elijah's. There's no shortage in churches across the land of volunteers prepared to be the Elijah for their generation. I mean, they're gung-ho, they're ready, they're God-called, they're this and that. Yet they don't understand what they're asking for. You want to be like Elijah? There's a process, friend. There's a process. God took three and a half years to prepare His servant for His next assignment. The training was rigorous. The disappointment seemed never-ending. Yet when God was finished, He had a mighty prophet. He had a mighty prophet at His disposal, at His ever beckon. Now, how long would you be? How long would you be willing to remain in God's hand of preparation? How long would you be willing to remain under God's scrutiny eye in preparing you? How long would you be willing to remain on that potter's wheel as you're being spun and shaped by the Master's hands? You got to be if you're going to be Elijah. Amen? I want to tell you, many people, they seek great things for God, but they get out of the hand of preparation way too soon. They chunk it in. They bail out. They cash in. Friend, we've got to be folks that will undertake His mighty work, but we got to be folks willing to be prepared for the mighty work. Amen? A man by the name of Dan McConchie, Vice President of Government Affairs at Americans United for Life. He was riding his motorcycle through a suburban intersection when a car came into his lane and pushed him into oncoming traffic. When he woke up 2 weeks later, he was in a level one trauma center. He was a mess. 6 broken ribs, deflated left lung, broken clavicle, broken shoulder blade, and 5 broken vertebrae. Worst of all, amidst all the broken bones, he had a spinal cord injury that left him a paraplegic. The neurosurgeon told his wife that it would be a miracle if he'd ever walk again. 8 years later, Dan is still in a wheelchair. What I learned, Dan said, is that this life isn't for our comfort. Instead, the purpose of this life is that we become conformed to the image of Christ. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen when everything is unicorns and rainbows. It instead happens when life is tough, when we are forced to rely upon God through prayer just to make it through the day. That is when He is most at work in our lives, molding us into who He designed us to be. So this Dan McConchie, he says, "My prayers are different today than they were 8 years ago. Back then, before he was a paraplegic, back then I looked at God like Santa Claus. I asked Him to send nice things my way. Now, I have one prayer that I pray more than any other. His prayer is, Lord, may I be able to say at the end of the day that I was faithful. That I was faithful." See, anyone can graduate the Lord's school of faith if there is right living going on, not for pride's sake, not for performance sake, but an outworking of the person of the Holy Spirit, a character fruit-bearing, Galatians 5:22-23 kind of a life. Anyone can graduate the Lord's school of faith if there is faithfulness. And faithfulness means a progression. Faithful means moving forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Faithful means the control of the Holy Spirit is increasing in your life day after day, week after week, month after month. Certainly you're going to have setbacks. Certainly you're going to backslide from time to time, but you're going to get back up. You're going to pick back up. You're going to get on with the program. Amen. Anyone can graduate the Lord's school of faith if this morning you might need to confess and repent. You might need to seek a fresh touch from God. You might need to seek a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. What you say that term? What do you mean by that? Are you talking about baptism? No, we were baptized in the Holy Spirit when we got saved. I'm talking about a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. What is that? That's a realization of who you are in Christ. Amen. Whoa, I woke up. I'm back with Jesus. Let's go. Amen. I've been off in selfish, self-centered land, and now I'm back. I've got a fresh realization of who I am in Jesus. It's not about me. It's about His glory, His kingdom, and people getting saved. Amen. Yeah, I'm back, right? Anyone can graduate the Lord's school of faith. But I want to tell you, God's got some things He wants you to do and how He wants you to do it. It's on His terms. Anyone can graduate the Lord's School of Faith if you're enrolled. You got to be enrolled. And I'm happy to tell you, enrollment is open. It's open enrollment. Come talk to me this morning. Amen? A few moments, we're all going to stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. Enrollment is open, friend. Just think of me. I am your guidance counselor. Amen? I know I'm a little old to be a guidance counselor, but I am one. Amen? And I'm your guidance counselor today. So, Fred, if you want in, come talk to me today. You say, well, Pastor, is the class full? Mm-mm. No, we still have room. There is room in the class for you. Well, what about the cost? Isn't it an expensive class? Well, the good news is that you've been scholarshiped, right? Jesus has paid it all. Well, what about the books? Books are expensive when you go to school. There's just one book. It's the Word of God. Amen? What about class times, Pastor? I'm really busy. You know, I'm busy. I'm so busy. What about class times? Well, you can talk to the professor Jesus whenever you would like. Jesus is available to you 24/7, 365. You got to be kidding me. No, he really is. But, Pastor, I'm asking you about class times. When are we going to meet? Well, your living, your actual living and work experience counts as your class time. It's a win-win, isn't it? Amen? It's a win-win. However, there are weekly sessions at your local church, right? Praise God. Well, what about tests? You know, I'm a poor test taker, Pastor. I'm a poor test taker. Jesus does offer retakes. Amen? Amen? Well, what's the duration of the course? I mean, you know, if you're wanting me to sign up and get in on this deal, well, it's the rest of your life. That's the duration. Well, what in the world is, if we're going to school and we're going to do all this, what is the degree conferred? Well, simply the crown of life. Amen? The crown of life. Man, if you're not in the class, let me just tell you, I'm selling it like the last drink of water. You want to be in the class. Amen? If you're lost today, Jesus wants you. If you're lost today, he's died on the cross to save you. He shed his blood to cover your sin if you're lost today. And you know that pit feeling in your gut. You know that uneasiness about you. You know that every time Pastor Lee gets on this deal, you get a little you're not right. You're not yourself. You know. That may very well be the Holy Spirit ringing your bell. Let him have you today. Jesus loves you today. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your word today. Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of prayer and the power of prayer. But Lord, these old vessels have to be ready to pray. They've got to get some things out of them and get some things in them so that they can be helped and not hindered in their prayer life. Lord, be with us as a congregation and be with us as visitors today and be with us as church members today. Help us do the things. I submit to the Holy Spirit. Just do what we need to do, Lord, so our prayers are helped and not hindered. Maybe confession and repentance, maybe something else. Maybe a broken relationship needs to be mended. Lord, whatever it may be. May we be about obedience and submission to you today. Thank you for being a loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving us the love of Jesus to love each other. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that ties us all together. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you today. Lord, may you have your way in this time of invitation. As the people feel they need to come, let them come. And if there's one here among us that doesn't know you, Lord, may this be the day, the hour, that they enter the class, they enter salvation, and they allow Jesus to come into their life, into their heart, and forever change them, save them for all eternity. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Let's stand all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah, lead us. It's time of invitation. I'll be down front. You come. Altars are open.
Thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Search me and by me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. An own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielding and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. Good day. Thank you for your great attention to the Word of God being preached. It's always encouraging. And the more you listen, the more it draws me out, right? You listen anymore, I'm going to hurt myself up here. Amen. Yeah, all right. Good. Brother John Thornhill's got your financials for the upcoming members meeting on February the 3rd on Sunday p.m. Make sure you get all that you want. I think there's plenty for everybody to get a copy. For members only, though. I mean, if you're a member, get them. If you're not, maybe leave one for a member. All right. And then anything, are we doing choir today? No choir today. Oh, choir getting another break. Amen. All right. Y'all need it. Amen. You got some good singers. Amen. Got some good singers. Outstanding. So, choir, you get the night off or the evening off, and we'll see everybody back here at what time? 6 o'clock for the Faithful Tree. I'm going to ask Brian DeBose to close with a word of prayer, and you'll be dismissed.
Dear most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today just truly humbled and thankful, Lord, for the grace, the mercy, the salvation that you've afforded us that we don't deserve, Lord. We thank you so much for the message today, Lord, that we can truly use in our daily lives, Lord, that we can situate ourselves in a better position to come to you in prayer, Lord, that you'll listen to us, Lord, that we just need to be obedient. Lord, we just ask that you would let us take this message out into our daily lives, Lord, and use it and live the life that is more understanding and graceful, grace handed down to other people, Lord, that you afford to us. Lord, that we may come to you and you'll listen to us. We ask you to just be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Keep everyone safe, Lord. We thank you for the trio this morning that praised your name in song. We just ask that you would lift them up this evening, that someone may hear something in their song and in their message that will bring someone to you. Keep us safe. Bring us back. All we ask in thy name. Amen.